Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. Lots to report on in this week's show, but I want to remind you about our website. That's gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. And now, without any further ado, here's Ann Northrup and Andy Helm with this week's LGBT news. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And, you know, we're all following the news as President Trump foments nuclear war.
I'm sure that'll all be over by the time they see this.
The whole world will be over?
Either that or the crisis,
well,
one way or the other.
He's still managing to move ahead on banning military service by transgender people.
Yeah, we have more detail on that. Former rap star Kid Creole killed a homeless man in New York for allegedly coming on to him by saying, "What's up?"
Men. A Florida man, just 22, was killed defending his gay friends from a homophobe.
You know, sometimes we're accused of only doing bad news on this show, but things happen. And in a small town in Oklahoma, a gay couple says the fire department and the mayor of the town let their house burn to the ground.
A famous lesbian is contemplating a run for governor of New York.
Well, that's better news. And in relatively good news, the anti-transgender bill is stalled in Texas, although marriage equality is also stalled in Australia.
There are only 5 countries that are aiding gay refugees from Chechnya.
Quiz answer, the U.S. is not one of them.
Yes.
Here's more good news. Activists have stopped United Healthcare from denying coverage to gay men for Truvada as PrEP.
And you've probably seen this, but a 4-minute animated film about 2 boys falling in love has become a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed, but it is a phenomenon. And we will pay tribute to gay icon Barbara Cook, and she was a pea flag mom, too.
Yes, I'm going to miss her.
And we'll do that at the
beautiful
end of the show.
Voice. Well,
so
you know,
stick around for
I
that.
Mean, we are just sitting here in the midst of tension over what's going on in the world, especially over North Korea and having a nutcase for a president. I read this morning that Trump's pastor, the ones he had at the inauguration, Pastor Robert Jeffress, who preached that day, says that his God has given Trump authority to take out Kim Jong-un. And he doesn't mean for a date.
This is going to lead us into, should we do the Vatican stuff then?
Well, I have to deal with some of the big stuff that I think is being missed out there.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, you know, I want to start by mourning the planet. You saw the fact that government scientists are telling us how terrible everything is in terms of the climate, and they have to leak this, if you're paying attention, Jeff Sessions, because they can't get it out through regular channels. The administration doesn't even how they're going to deal with it, but it's the report is horrendous.
I'm not concerned about the health of the planet. The planet will regenerate itself, but meanwhile, the human race is going to be wiped out.
Well, and then if you want to talk about a more immediate threat, there's the fact that nuclear energy safety is being abandoned by this administration. This is a much more imminent threat with Rick Perry, a numbskull in charge of the Energy Department, but they've also installed all these people who are the naysayers about, you know, all these extra safety rules.
You really have
things.
To wonder what their motivation is, because it's one thing to decide that you want to deconstruct the federal government because you want to, devolve power to the states or locals or whatever. But to do it in a way that recklessly puts in harm's way all of us as human beings.
Michael Lewis wrote, "The risks of mistakes being made and lots of people being killed is increasing dramatically." And, when you think about the George Bush administration and Katrina, it sort of woke people up to we're not paying attention to infrastructure and protecting people and all this kind of stuff.
If only.
Well, to some extent, they certainly spent a lot of money down there to rehab things. When there is, like, Three Mile Island, most people don't remember that, but some massive nuclear accident that wipes out Trump country, are people going to react then and say, you didn't protect us?
Well, that's a good question. Certainly about 30% of the electorate will rationalize that.
Well,
because they don't like the normal elite who they think are condescending to them.
We are all human beings, and I think some things can snap us out of some of our most dearly held beliefs.
I'm more cynical than that, while still finding great hope and beauty in a lot of other things. But I'm not terribly surprised by all this, but it's extremely depressing and frightening.
And then you saw that the Republican Senator Bob Corker once all the leakers in the White House fired. But that, of course, would mean firing the president.
Start at the top.
That would mean firing him, because he's one of them. He leaks when he feels like it.
And they're all just so full of, nonsense, because we're broadcasting and they have rules about language. But they're all just liars. They lie from morning till night. Everything they say is a lie. Everything they say is nonsense. And I just don't know how they sleep at night and why we have put these morons in power.
Was the president lying when he said he's going to rain fire and brimstone down on North Korea? Actually,
yes.
He was, because
yes,
he said,
he
if you threaten us again, we're going to rain fire and brimstone down on you.
Look.
And they threatened him again. And he didn't do anything. Thank goodness.
I think he is just a blusterer who...
A fool.
He is a fool because he claims he's this great negotiator, and clearly he can't negotiate his way out of a paper bag. But I am worried that he will provoke others to attack us, be it North Korea or China. When China and Russia figure out how truly weak we are at this point, they could really decide to have a field day with us.
I mean, Russia, already went into Crimea, and, you can say they paid a price in sanctions, but, shall we get to the LGBT news?
Okay, Andy, let's march on.
I mean, let's not forget about our transgender brothers and sisters who are in the military, because they're moving on this thing.
They are.
They're moving on
it. The word came out over the weekend that the White House has sent a proposed guidance to the Defense Department. We'll see what the Defense Department does in standing in the way of this. But here's the plan, the proposed plan from the White House, that no transgender troops will be allowed to reenlist. So they will start by getting rid of people by attrition. Now, how they're going to ferret out who is trans and who isn't, when most are not being explicit about who they are, is a question. There are no details about that.
Well, most had not come out. It was too dangerous. A handful had come out.
But they say that what they want to do is stop reenlistments of those who are. Will they start testing everybody in some way? Then for those who are officers who are eligible for promotions, as soon as they become eligible for a promotion, they get kicked out. The logic of that, I don't understand.
Oh, well, that's all about saving money.
Well, what is any of this about? But the whole the idea of the whole proposed plan is to phase out transgender troops. Now, Lambda Legal Defense and OutServe SLDN, the Service Members Legal Defense.
See you in court, Mr. Trump.
Well, they are suing. They are suing already on behalf of trans troops, claiming violation of due process rights. NCLR, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and GLAAD, formerly Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders out of Boston, which was involved, both of which involved in the marriage cases. They have filed suit on the basis, in support of trans clients who are in the military. House Democrats, scores of them, have signed
50.
A letter objecting to this. The Democratic
Well, they call it unconstitutional, and
yes.
We'll see about that.
Well,
because if you listen to Ann Northrup on this show, the courts have a way of deferring to the military.
Yes, they do. And
the military says...
Well, the Democratic National Committee has also weighed in on this. But here are the interesting questions. What will the military say about this? Because Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, the
Coast Guard guy, he said, I'm not going to abandon my transgender
right.
service members. Not going to turn my backs on them.
A Navy guy spoke up this week, too. So there's no guarantee, even though they're supposed to follow the orders of the commander-in-chief, there is no guarantee that the military is actually going to sign off on this proposed guidance.
Well, the military people who've been asked if they'd drop a nuclear bomb on Beijing have said they would if the president ordered it.
Well, I think one guy did.
Yeah, well,
it was
the guy in the Pacific.
Wow.
And he was asked in Australia, and he said, that's the rules. The commander-in-chief says, go. Everything is on hair trigger. I'm not trying to upset you too much, but there it is.
Well, this is the crisis that is looming. Is will they draw the line, or will they just, lemmings go over the cliff with this guy?
Even the lemming, Caitlyn Jenner, has drawn the line at the expulsion of transgender troops.
Well, wait, can we finish a serious discussion
of this? This is a serious discussion.
So I am wondering whether any of the military leaders will stand up to this officially when it becomes a real official thing.
When we say stand up to it, what do you mean?
Resign or publicly refuse to support this, publicly condemn it,
Then they'd have to quit.
Quit or be fired.
Yeah.
And just refuse to implement it.
You can't refuse an order from the commander-in-chief.
Well, maybe there's a way for them to sit the chief down and say, hey, we're not going to do this, and you don't want to make this a crisis.
Let's
figure a way to get out of this.
I am not going to quote Donald Trump about his Second Amendment solution to Hillary Clinton being president. I am not going to do that.
I would also say that while the...
Because that would be wrong.
The hundreds of years of history is of the court deferring to
yes.
the military as a special case. In 2017, I wonder whether a corner has been turned and whether it is possible that the courts could look at this more closely and say...
Yes.
You have to have a more rational basis for this, and you have offered none.
Well, the courts have certainly stood up to him on the immigration policy, short of the Supreme Court, which is put it on hold, allowed
yes,
him to go forward.
Yes, but again, that is not the military. The military has always been a special case. They have always
deferred. So was enforcement of the immigration laws.
To a large extent, yes. But the administration people have said all along, the president has the right to make the decision about immigration. And the answer is yes, but within certain parameters.
Right.
Those parameters have not necessarily previously existed for the military widely. Will they be imposed in this case?
You talk about the progress we've made, but... It's only 5 minutes ago the transgender troops were allowed to come out. And that was
sure.
in the last year of the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't even a completed process because what we were working under was another six-month extension
yes.
of deciding whether to admit recruits who
yes.
are transgender. So this is new.
It is new, but the world is changing daily.
Yes.
And
the polls on this are pretty good.
Exactly.
And again,
you're the one who always says the court follows the public opinion.
That's Mr. Dooley. The Supreme Court follows the election returns.
Well, I only rely on you.
All right.
That's not true.
But more people will be aware of Caitlyn Jenner being upset about this.
Okay.
But. So
have that picture of her? Have we shown that?
There she is. She was running out of the house to a golf date, and she needed a hat for the car to keep her hair down.
Bull.
and put this on and didn't realize that it was a Trump cap.
No one is that stupid.
And
Trump
does not intend to make the mistake again, even though when somebody pointed it out at the club, she still put it on the way home.
Yeah, believe me, she knew what she was wearing. She's sorry about it now, but she knew what she was wearing.
She said what Trump is doing to our community is absolutely effing awful. She said effing. She didn't. Well, maybe she said the other thing. Anyway, she plans to auction the hat off or destroy it.
I think destroying it would be the honorable thing to do. Just light it on fire.
So,
meanwhile, other voices being heard. The Kennedy Center honors for this year have been announced, the five honorees. One of them is Norman Lear, the legendary TV series producer of All in the Family and everything else.
Yes.
He says.
And the guy who created People for the American Way.
He will not go to the traditional White House reception that happens a day or two before the actual ceremony at the Kennedy Center, the performance thing that you see on TV.
Yeah.
Every year, a day or two before that, the White House and the president have a big reception for the honorees.
It should be pointed out, for those who don't know, the honorees sit in the president's box, and they do have this White House reception, but they are not selected by the White House.
No.
They are selected by the Kennedy Center.
Right.
And, you know, Barbara Streisand was honored during the George W. Bush administration, and she took it. But in this case, Norman's not going to the reception.
I don't think anyone's turned it down that we know of.
The reception.
No, the honor.
You never know. I mean,
I just said we don't know.
Yeah.
Gloria Estefan, who is also one of the honorees, says she will go to the White House reception, but she will do so in order to have a confrontational conversation with the president about immigration.
Yes, they should all have confrontational. Any of you who have FaceTime with him on the golf course, you know, when your wedding reception is out there at Bedminster, I doubt you will. But, yes, you should.
Oh, he's too walled off. Now, interestingly, administration.
Well, should we run the tape of the confrontation in the White House?
Oh, absolutely. This was, 1972?
Yes.
The Ray Conniff, you may have seen this before, the Ray Conniff Singers were invited to perform at the White House for President Nixon.
Because they're square. I like that.
They were very square.
He said.
And it was in the midst of the Vietnam War, and the Ray Conniff Singers were quite bold about protesting the Vietnam War and President Nixon. And here's what happened at the White House.
A news report.
This was the scene at the White House last night as President Nixon presented the Medal of Freedom to DeWitt Wallace and his wife, the founders of Reader's Digest. It was the pleasant part of the evening for the president and his guests. The unpleasant part came earlier during the entertainment. When the Ray Conniff Singers came on, one of the singers, Carol Peracci, made a short speech about Vietnam. The guests, including Bob Hope and the Reverend Billy Graham, didn't like it, and there were shouts of "throw her out."
President Nixon, stop bombing human beings, animals, and vegetation. You go to church on Sundays and pray to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ were here tonight, you would not dare drop another bomb. Bless the Berrigans and bless Daniel Ellsberg.
Repertoire.
After they finished the song, she was asked to leave. Her name was Carol Faraci, and she's a hero. She was Canadian, actually. And they asked her 40 years later, whatever the hell it is, she says, absolutely no regrets.
Why would you? I think it was a brilliant thing to do.
Because it's the kind of thing that can hurt your career in terms of your work. Look, when Eartha Kitt spoke up to Lyndon Johnson over the Vietnam War, she didn't work for a long time.
That's true. But I like the fact that the Ray Conniff Singers didn't seem to object to her doing that.
They just were Well, they got rid of her as soon as the song was over.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, they were frozen and like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know? You want to have a scene?
Well, thank you, Carol. It was wonderful, and I wish more people would do that.
Bob Hope wasn't happy. Get her out of there!
Congratulations.
Well, speaking of Trump supporters, Peter Thiel, the out gay tech billionaire who spoke at the convention for Trump, is now telling friends that he soured on him and he thinks the administration will end in disaster.
Another moron.
But then when they get him on the record, no, I still support the president.
Moron. Doug Manchester, on the other hand, the hotel magnate from San Diego, has been nominated to be the ambassador to the Bahamas by the Trump administration. He was at a hearing on his nomination for this ambassadorship, and he was cross-examined about his huge donation to the Prop 8 effort in California, which got him in a lot of trouble with us, led to boycotts of his hotel. And he said, that was a big mistake. I should never have done that, and I am fully supportive of same-sex marriage.
Because now I know that once Trump gets his court appointments, he's going to get rid of it anyway, so why upset people?
I'm going to give him credit for a turnaround.
Okay.
Not enough people make those turnarounds, let alone declare it publicly, let alone declare it as a nominee of the Trump administration.
Well, and another nominee of the Trump administration, yet another person named Mark Green, not the former public advocate of New York and not the anti-gay bigot who had to withdraw his Army Secretary nomination. This guy is nominated to head the U.S. Agency for International Development, and he was asked about, reaching programming to vulnerable LGBTQ people around the world. And he said, we need to make sure that we reach all marginalized communities. He gave this long, nice speech about it. No country can be a vibrant democracy if it isn't listening to all of its voices. And this is a Trump nominee.
The fact is that ambassadors around the world, embassies, agencies like this, have continued to be progressive and welcoming to us and to other communities.
Many are, yes.
In spite of the moron in chief and the bigots in chief.
And I'm willing to give this guy a chance and let him show that he's, the guy, the hoteler.
Doug Manchester.
Doug Manchester. I'm willing to give him a chance.
Of course, if I were going to be ambassador to the Bahamas, I'd be happy to say a lot of things, too. But the biggest criticism and attack on Steve Bannon this week, and I do believe Steve Bannon is behind most of this mess we're in around the world, came from the Vatican. A Vatican-associated publication wrote an essay signed by two people who are close associates of the Pope.
Right. Nothing gets through without the Pope's approval.
Railing against Steve Bannon and the U.S. Catholic Church for being in league with Trump and the right-wing evangelicals here.
Which they call an alliance of hate.
Yes.
And they singled out Bannon and called him a supporter of an apocalyptic geopolitics that has stymied action against climate change and exploited fears of migrants and Muslims and calls for walls and purifying deportations. So this is all heavy duty.
The writers declare that the worldview of American evangelical and hardline Catholics, which is based on a literal interpretation of the Bible, is not too far apart from jihadists. This is the Vatican going after American Catholicism.
So what's the effect of all that?
And Steve Bannon.
What is the effect of all that? How many legions does the Pope command to get his views across? I mean, yes, he is appointed softer spoken, more moderate sounding bishops since he's gotten in there. But he hasn't changed any dogma. There's no really radical opening that you've seen.
No, I think this is the most important and strong statement by the Pope, directly or indirectly, of opposition to the conservative ideology of American Catholicism and the White House.
Most of the American bishops are just happy that they're going to get rid of abortion rights and gay rights in this administration, or they are getting rid of them.
Well, yes,
problem.
But that's the U.S. bishops
yes.
and cardinals who are acting that way, and the Vatican is condemning that.
I mean, look, they have, the Pope has, what's the word, disciplined or taken out of job some of the more bellicose,
yes.
Bannon-like bishops,
mm-hmm.
you know, but... I'm still.
Look, supporting the Pope, who I think has engaged in more empty rhetoric than action? No. But am I impressed by this move? Enormously.
Right.
I am enormously impressed by this, and I think it's incredibly hard-hitting. And the fact that they went after Bannon directly and by name, the fact that they went after the American cardinals and bishops for aligning with the right-wing evangelical church, I think is spectacular.
I will be interested to read some follow-ups of press questioning more closely the spokespeople for these American bishops or the bishops themselves.
Oh, they're furious.
They don't return my calls.
They are very furious at the Vatican.
Yeah.
All right. Good news from Texas at the moment, where the proposed bill to ban transgender people from using the bathroom that corresponds with their lived gender has not made progress in the House after passing the Senate.
Well, that's what happened during the regular session.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a special session, and they're threatening to do another special session.
Well, but this one runs out next week on August 16th.
The House Speaker is a guy named Joe Strauss. He's a moderate Republican. He's a business-oriented Republican. And all the onslaught has been from corporations.
Yes.
They have been taking out full-page ads. People from IBM have been, they say, flying in to Texas and saying, don't do this.
And, you know, Toyota is threatening not to build a proposed plant in Texas if they pass
now,
this.
Now, all of this is coming from the far right. The governor is certainly far right, Greg Abbott, but Dan Patrick is a lieutenant governor. He's the one who put him up to it, who intends to run against him if he, you know. So
if he's not sufficiently supportive of
this. You're exaggerating the effect it's going to have on the state and or what it had on North Carolina and all this kind of stuff. But I want to say we're winning there because our rights are not protected there.
No, but it's heartening to see a Republican Speaker of the House stand up to the right-wing Republican
yes.
governor and lieutenant
yes.
governor and hold the line so far. Now, they can call special sessions infinitely, but we can also hold the line infinitely.
Right. And now, the interesting thing here is, the Speaker of the House there, Joe Strauss, has, you know, he's got a committee chair also who's aligned this way and will not hold hearings on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't like that sometimes when a bill is not allowed to even be voted on. We're going to talk about Australia later. But so this can work both ways.
Look, we are situationally ethical. And we are willing to be happy about things like that
by
when they redound to our favor.
Means necessary.
Well, maybe not any, but in this case, yes. And speaking of government and governors, there's a rumor about a challenge to Governor Cuomo here in New York from Cynthia Nixon.
On the Today Show.
Well, Cynthia,
she was asked about it.
She has been an education activist for many, many years.
That's how she met her wife, Christine Marinoni, was the head of a big education advocacy organization. So Cynthia Nixon's line is, New York State has the worst gap between the poorest schools and the highest funded schools in the country.
Yep.
We spend probably our bottom is a lot higher than some other places top, but she's saying the gap in New York is terrible.
So the rich get richer and the poor get poorer
right.
in public education in New York. And she has been hammering this for years. And so now she's going along at the moment in a coy way with the rumors about her running for governor. I don't think she's going to run for governor. But
Donald Trump is president.
I don't think Cynthia Nixon would get elected governor, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
but anyway, she's gotten the attention of the governor, who has invited her in to have a conversation about these
issues. I think people are looking for fresh faces, people who are not you know, professional politicians, how else could Trump have gotten elected? I mean, when people, you know, there's a lot of talk online about who the next Democratic nominee should be, and oh, stop trashing Kamala Harris and stop trashing Bernie and stop it, all this kind of stuff. It's got to be a fresh face, whoever
yes,
it is.
It's got
like Obama, somebody that you can invest your hopes in, who you don't know too much about.
Well, that's the trick is,
yes.
Be a one-term senator. That got JFK elected president, too. He hadn't spent much time in the Congress before he got elected.
He almost got nominated for vice president in 1956.
Yeah.
He was not, anyway.
I'm not saying he wasn't part of it, but he was relatively fresh on the scene. He was very young.
Yes. Nixon was the same age. They were the same age as Kennedy. They were about the same age.
I find that so amazing. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
In Arizona, in Pima County, which is Tucson, they have banned conversion therapy for minors.
Very nice.
That's a good thing.
The Justice Department has been ordered to release the documents relating to the Lavender Scare.
The Gay Purge
yes.
documents. This relates to a 1953 order from executive order from President Eisenhower, who was not that young.
When he left office, he was the oldest person to have held the office until Reagan was elected.
Well, Republican gay activist Charles Francis in D.C., who was a Bush guy, but who has been very radicalized over the years, and who restarted the Mattachine Society just as an homage to that name.
The pre-Stonewall organization.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work, and he's the one who went to court and got the federal court now to order the Department of Justice and FBI to turn over all their files from decades of firings of LGBT, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever, workers who were fired by the federal government. Although evidently this started, in fact, under Truman, who issued a loyalty order in 1947 that provoked the start of some of this gay purge.
Harry Truman, who said it's okay to be black in the military, but not gay.
Technically, this was stopped when the Civil Service Commission in 75 ended the process of these firings, but in fact it took until 95 under Bill Clinton for an order to actually protect LGBT workers.
We're going to talk, I could talk about it now because it relates to this. Peter Tatchell did a one-hour special on BBC Radio, BBC 4, about, this all the stuff about the 50th anniversary of the decriminalization of homosexuality. Only slightly in 1967 did they decriminalize it, and thousands of people were arrested after that. And what he gathers on this, and I'm going to include this in our email this week. If you get on our email list, you'll get a link to this. He documented all these people who were arguing for reform, criminal reform, saying we shouldn't make it a crime. But we despise these people. You better not get the idea that it's okay to walk around holding hands. You're still disgusting. These are all quotes. These are things that people are saying who led the reform movement. And that lasted for decades, the persecution of gay people after the initial decriminalization, which they're doing so much celebrating about.
Well, in a similar vein, we think of Amazon as a very LGBT-friendly company. They produce the TV show Transparent. They have non-discrimination rules for their workplace. And yet, a trans woman and her husband are now suing Amazon because they worked in one of their warehouses in Hebron, Kentucky, and for a year were viciously harassed by their coworkers and their supervisors when they complained, and had the brake lines cut on their car one day. The EEOC found grounds to sue, and so they have now filed suit with the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund against Amazon for this treatment.
But transgender Jessica Shine Robeson has won her discrimination suit brought by TILDEF, the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, versus the Walmart subsidiary Sam's Club at the EEOC.
Yeah.
This has been a longstanding case, and she was persecuted because she was, you know, transitioning, subjected to harassment and intimidation, and she won.
And she was working for them in Florida. These are all Title VII cases and a bunch, you know, they cobbled together other laws because there were not adequate direct laws on this. In fact, in the Amazon case, they're also claiming a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act because that's because the Amazon treated the trans wife as disabled as
yes.
part of this. So there are all sorts of ways they're putting this together. Now, on the other hand, in Virginia, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is delaying again any looking at the Gavin Grimm case. And there's a sense that they may just declare it moot as he graduates from high school. And that's a shame because these are real issues about transgender bathroom access
yep.
at a high school, and they're just pushing it off to the side so as not to have to deal with it.
Yeah. By the way, we don't mention Vice President Pence enough because he is the power behind a lot of this anti-LGBT stuff, and he's headlining the Koch brothers conference this week. These are the people who actually run the country, it's the Americans for Prosperity, but it's not your prosperity.
And a little deeper, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council says he's never been invited to the White House as much as he has been in this administration. It's these right-wingers. It's the Alliance Defending Freedom. It's Tony Perkins.
Well,
it's all of these groups just getting in there and hammering away with Pence, with Jeff Sessions, I'm sure with Bannon also. And it's shameful.
Well, the president's lawyer comes out of that.
Yeah.
Did we talk about the Michigan Civil Rights Commission?
No.
They may add LGBTQ to the definition of sex, so they can make this decision. If you would like to comment on this, you have until August 15th.
I just want to follow up on a story we did last week about the sentencing of Jeffrey Herant, who
yes.
ran rentboy.com, to 6 months in prison, which
yes.
was considered a light sentence, although we wonder whether he should
below
be going.
Below federal guidelines.
Yeah, well, we kind of wish he weren't going to prison at all. But there more detail came out about the judge and her opinion of this, the Judge Margot K. Brody.
Yes.
From the New York Times report, Judge Brody was clearly sympathetic to Mr. Herant, saying she had trouble sleeping while considering his sentence, and she began an unusual conversation with him after his statement, asking why she should not sentence him to prison. Mr. Herant seemed perplexed by the question, but eventually said, I did my best to run a company that was doing good for people, not as a criminal racket. Judge Brody seemed to agree and to find irony in the situation. The very thing that was illegal, it also did a lot of good.
Well, she got a lot of letters from the community saying,
well,
what are you doing? This is an organization that has been around for 20 years.
You know, he was trying to make sex work safe.
Right.
He take it off the streets and make it safe. He ran an online service where escorts could advertise their services and clients could find them. And he provided financial management education for the escorts and safe sex
yes.
education and tried to run a clean business and did a lot of philanthropic donations. And the judge recognized this.
I mean, this case was initiated by former Attorney General Loretta Lynch when she was she was the federal prosecutor in that area. Now,
Homeland Security brought this case.
A lot of this comes to the surface because of the concern about trafficking. And there was an intimation of somebody maybe.
But that
wasn't
the case.
Correct.
Anyway,
right.
It was just interesting to read that the judge was
that's good news.
Sympathetic.
Well, let's give him the bad news.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Oklahoma family, if
okay.
we can. This is a gay couple that moved to a small town of a population of about 121, Hitchcock. And we have a news report on it, do we?
They moved to the town with their African-American 7-year-old son, adopted, I guess. And yes, we have a news report. Let's take a look at that.
It's unheard of. It's like something out of a movie rather than real life.
Developing tonight, a federal discrimination lawsuit filed against the Blaine County Sheriff and leaders of the town of Hitchcock. Now, the former town clerk says he was run out of town because of his sexuality and his son's race. News 9's Jesse Mitchell spoke with both sides today. Jesse.
Lisa, Randy Gamel Medler moved to Hitchcock with his husband and adopted son last August. He says 1 month later, the racial and homophobic slurs started and the harassment reached its peak when his house burned down this year.
No lives were lost, so not quite a worst-case scenario. This is an extreme case.
Civil rights organizations are speaking out in support of Randy Gamel Medler, who moved from Texas to Hitchcock, Oklahoma, to retire with his family.
It's a farming community. Everybody knows everybody. He moved in and started stirring up crap.
Hitchcock Mayor Richard Edsall is one of the defendants named in the federal lawsuit, detailing numerous instances of citizens calling Gamel Medler a queer and threatening violence against his black son. The former clerk says Blaine County Sheriff Tony Almaguer and Under Sheriff David Robertson refused to file reports, citing free speech laws. The events culminated May 28th when Gamel Medler says he was standing inside his house when he heard glass breaking. He says the garage was set on fire and his house subsequently burned to the ground. The lawsuit states the mayor and other citizens watched as it burned and that firefighters a block away didn't respond until it was too late. Mayor Edsall told me that's simply not true.
Our fire department, a volunteer fire department, was at the fire within 6 minutes.
Okay.
Putting water on it.
Okay.
I was in my robe, fixing to go to bed, when I heard the ruckus, and I went down there and grabbed the hose and started spraying.
The undersheriff told the Associated Press an arson investigation is currently underway. Gamel Medler was arrested in July, charged with threatening violence against the first responders. That case is pending, and the mayor insists race and sexuality were never an issue.
I've got half nieces that are half black, so.
Okay.
I mean, we are not racist. We don't care if you're gay or anything else. We're not that way.
Tomorrow, Freedom Oklahoma will be visiting the town to file open records requests, and they're calling on the OSBI, FBI, and state fire marshal to conduct an investigation. Jesse Mitchell.
Now, that report did not include the disgustingly racist and homophobic statements that have been quoted from the mayor and all these other people.
I mean, I can clean it up a little bit, but one of the defendants who's accused in this case, and I'm about the kid, I'm going to rip his N-word head off and crap down his throat, and they use stronger language. It's just, it was an assault.
Yes, and disgusting and horrible, and that report, while it gives you some basic facts, you notice didn't talk to the family that was attacked.
Yes.
Only talked to the mayor, who evidently didn't want his face on camera.
And to the gay activist in the area.
Yeah, but didn't allow him much time to speak.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in New York City, several violent incidents. Most egregious, a former rap star, a member of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Kid Creole, who went on to a slightly different kind of performing career.
There he is being taken into court.
Yeah, and now working as a handyman and security guard. He's walking down the street in the middle of the night, and he says that...
Oh, this other guy, and we have a picture of him. He's a homeless man named John Jolly. Apparently says to him, "What's up?"
And Kid Creole kills him.
Because he interpreted this as an attempt to sexually... to importune him,
yeah.
To hit on him.
And stabbed him dead.
That is like, I mean, if you don't think there's homophobia in the world, holy Mount Moly.
Well, and on Staten Island, two men have been arrested for kicking and punching a trans woman, 29 years old, at 9:40 in the morning.
Yep.
I think of these things as happening at 2 o'clock in the morning, but 9:40 in the morning in broad daylight, these guys are just kicking the crap out of this poor woman.
Yep, just for witnessing her. And then in Florida, in Lake Worth, a man was, we have a picture of him, was fatally shot after defending his gay friends. They were all out at a club, and this other guy who's there, this is the guy who was killed, by the way. His name is Javier Cruz. As they're leaving the club, this other man, well, let's put his picture up there, Nelson Hernandez Mania, is drunk and starts going after them. And then he says, I hate people like you, where I'm from. I'm going to, you know, they kill you. He's from Honduras. He whips out a gun and he starts shooting. And apparently the kid who was killed, Juan Javier Cruz, pushes his cousin out of the way and gets the bullet himself and dies.
Yeah. One other guy was wounded. Terrible.
Awful, awful, awful.
In much milder but still homophobic news in Oakland, California, Oakland A's outfielder Matt Jones was suspended without pay for two games after yelling gay slurs at a fan he was angry at. The money was his pay for those 2 days has been donated to PFLAG.
And he will take part in a public outreach initiative with PFLAG.
He says he is beyond sorry. But this is the thing. It's the reflexive go-to slur.
Alec Baldwin has been guilty of it a number of times.
So many people are.
You're upset at him. He was upset at a photographer, so he calls him a F-word, et cetera. This is in people's hearts, and it comes out at these times. It's like the word that they think can hurt you the most.
Well, and it's the way they've been raised and what they've been taught, and it becomes the reflexive action. And until we start doing some real work from the ground up with young children, we're not going to get rid of that.
And many parents are doing that kind of work with their kids.
We also want to celebrate the life and mourn the death of a legendary pioneer circuit party DJ, Wendy Hunt, one of the first women to DJ, referred to by those who knew her as a dance music legend. 64 years old, took her own life.
And we talked about Alicia Brevard last week, and who passed away. And we talked about her as having been a Marilyn Monroe impersonator. And one of our viewers said, "Hey, that was something that she did, but she's of course one of the most famous, one of the first people to transition in the late 50s and 60s. And her life, she was much more than that in terms of her,
sure,
her career and everything else." So we pay tribute to her for her 50 years of activism.
Okay. Shall we move on to international news?
I think so.
All right. So Australia is the big headline this week. We've been wondering whether they were going to finally get over the hump and do marriage. But they're still arguing. The legislature has once again turned down the idea of a public plebiscite vote, which would require people to go to the polls to vote. Instead, the government is now proposing a mail vote, a postal vote, but no one is required to participate in that. People say they don't use the mail anymore.
And it's not binding anyway, and neither is the ballot initiative binding on the legislators, because a lot of them have said, no matter what happens, I'm still voting against this.
What the government, the prime minister wants marriage, but he's in a conservative coalition to govern, so he wants the people to make them pass it. He doesn't have the guts to just let the parliament have a free vote. LGBT activists are going to challenge the postal vote in a lawsuit. So it's all still up in the air.
Meanwhile,
the United Nations has told Australia that they have to recognize the marriage of two lesbians who were married in Canada and then moved to Australia.
Well, they want them to give them a divorce.
Yes, for purposes of a divorce.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Although one is now living in Scotland. I can't figure out
where
why they don't
the Anglican Church there had their first same-sex marriage. And this is, they only approved this in June. It's the first one in the United Kingdom there in the Anglican Church to do it. And it's going to cause more trouble, but get over it.
In Haiti, the Senate has passed a bill to ban same-sex marriage and any public demonstration of support for homosexuality. This still has to pass the Chamber of Deputies, although they don't anticipate any trouble passing it, even though marriage is already legally just between a man and a woman. No one is trying to pass a same-sex marriage bill. But two LGBT activists groups are going to continue to fight this bill.
There are only five countries who are working to help the Chechen refugees who are gay, and they are France, Germany, Lithuania, Canada, and one country not named by the organization that put this out.
We don't think it's the United States.
Well, it is not. We're not helping refugees from anywhere.
That's true.
And over in Russia, there's a gay... Now, we talk about the problems in Russia, but there's a gay journalist from Uzbekistan who is seeking asylum in Moscow.
In Moscow.
And they want to send him back. They raided him and they arrested him. He's now being held in a detention center. Doesn't want to go back, says he'll die.
Well, the court blocked his deportation back to Uzbekistan.
We do have a picture of him. His name is Kudoberdi Nurmatov. He's a very prominent journalist for the that newspaper that exposed Chechnya.
Gazeta.
Yes.
I just mumbled that.
Yes.
And in Kuwait, they have succeeded in deporting 76 homosexuals after closing 22 massage parlors this year. Mm-hmm. They are trying to clean us out of Kuwait. In Israel, 14,000 people at least showed up at Jerusalem Pride, which was at least three times the number expected. But there were 22 arrests, including one guy with a knife. Presumably those were protesters who were arrested. And in London, there's a controversy. A neighborhood council is demanding that a new office and luxury apartment development include a very gay club to replace one that was lost when they are doing this this gentrification. Well, the mayor says there's a shocking decline in gay clubs in London.
Yes. The number of LGBT venues in London has fallen by 58% from 125 to 53 since 2006. But that's because people are meeting.
It's happening
people
here, too.
People are meeting in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to regular bars, and they can meet people who they want to meet. But Alan Cumming is, the Eastern Bloc Club is closing, which was a big gay bar, very famous one. He's opening up.
In New York,
in the East Village. He's opening up Club Cumming there, which is not gay-specific, but everybody's welcome.
Big victory. United Healthcare, we told you, the insurance company, had refused to cover Truvada as PrEP for men engaging in highly risky homosexual behavior. Well, people got very angry at that, and they have
because
now...
Because that's what Truvada is for. God damn. Bless it.
Yeah. They've apologized. They're changing their policy. They will cover it.
It's crazy.
Blah, blah, blah. And you might want to catch an art show here in Chelsea at Clamp Art on West 29th Street, 247 West 29th. Screaming in the Streets, AIDS, Art, and Activism. All the major artists of the AIDS movement, David Wojnarowicz, Keith Haring, Essex Hemphill, Asato Saint, many others. That's Clamp Art through September 23rd.
Okay.
And in entertainment news,
we're not going to show you the movie In a Heartbeat, which you've all seen anyway, because it's gone viral. This is a 4-minute animated gay youth love story, and it's gotten more than 18 million hits. But it's a very interesting story behind it. It was made by some student filmmakers, Beth David and Esteban Bravo, originally conceived as a non-gay story, and then they made it gay, and that made it deeper. And it's taken off around the world. We'll put that in our email.
I'm more interested in the Disney Channel's Disney Junior section for preschoolers, including a lesbian mom's family in Doc McStuffins. Now, it turns out there's a lesbian running this channel, and the characters, the two moms, are voiced by Wanda Sykes and Portia de Rossi, and characters are named Edie and Thea. And the kids are
after
named
Edie Windsor and Thea Spire,
yes.
Who,
and the kids
got
are
us
named
on marriage rights.
Gertie, as in Gertrude Stein, and Brandon, as in Brandon Tina.
Wow.
Disney Channel.
Wow.
Well, that's
like In a Heartbeat. It's about reaching kids.
All right. Transparent, the Amazon Trans series, is now coming to your cable TV on the Sundance Channel.
Modern Family has gotten a double renewal, but that's going to be it.
Maybe. Coming out on DVD next week, Baby Steps, a Taiwan movie, a takeoff on The Wedding Banquet. It's about a Taiwanese guy and his American boyfriend and their attempt to have a baby.
And coming out to the world is Aaron Carter. He is opening up about his sexuality, his bisexuality. He didn't quite say it explicitly, but he acknowledged it.
And I can't say I really care.
Well, there it is, though, for some people who follow these things.
New NBC series, Midnight Texas, has a gay couple.
And BBC America is starting a gay series called Queers, short films with a lot of prominent people, starting in October. BBC
America. But this week we mourn the death of Barbara Cook,
yes,
legendary Broadway and otherwise cabaret singer here in New York, who was a gay icon.
She was a great Broadway star. Then she was out of the picture for a while, a long time, had a pretty hard period. She came back as a great cabaret singer and concert singer. And
was a P-flag mom?
Because her son, Adam LeGrant, was gay.
And she got her big breakthrough was parents singing Sondheim's Folly. So we thought we'd show you some of that in tribute to Barbara.
I'm losing my mind.
I think about you. The coffee cup. I think about you. I want you so. It's like I'm losing my mind. The morning ends, I think about you. I talk to friends, I think about you. And do they know, it's like I'm losing my mind. All afternoon, doing every little chore. Sometimes I stand in the middle of the floor, not going left, not going right. I dim the lights and think about you, spend sleepless nights to think about you. You said you loved me, or were you just being